So yes, this is with the wonderful Toast from the Game Store Guardians podcast. And we are talking about Ancient One. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, despite the technical difficulties, and I will see you after the intro. Like, the Weapon X is very, like, parasitic affiliation because their leadership only cares about Weapon X characters. While she is not a character that is going to pop like a weasel, she is a character that is going to go down throughout the course of a game. She is not an unstoppable juggernaut. And she is a diver. She wants to get in there. She's going to take attacks. She's going to cause chaos from getting attacked through Winds of Fatum, but she is still going to get attacked in probably days. She has a great spend on the backside to use all that power, but she's also a character you don't mind getting a memory token off of in the mid-game.
That's fair.
So yeah. And she's also very mobile, so I could see her as a Brotherhood splash. For Mystique, just the way she can traverse the board and cause issues where, like, okay, you're even on the point, your opponent activates, attack, you Winds of Fatum them off, and then you, lay down, Freedom Force objective token and then run to somewhere else, and they've already activated that character and you've displaced them away during their activation, so you don't need to spend any resources during your turn to displace them. And she got a double move teleport, which is also a lot of distance.
Yeah, that's movement is very strong in this game, so yes. Anytime you can cover some good ground,
mm-hmm.
It's a good thing to have.
So, we've talked about a number of options. Which one jumped out to you there?
As much as I would like to see that kind of trap house thing mm-hmm. we were talking about in Spider Foes, I'm still stuck on this Kingpin thing, man.
Kingpin is a very interesting thing, and I think she plays fairly well in him just because of the way she disrupts the counterplay to Kingpin.
Yeah, I think she has like a really neat ability on even D-maps to, mm-hmm. I mean, generally when you're playing with Kingpin, right, the opponent has to put two models just to tie the point, right?
Yep.
Just because of the nature of the leadership. And now she's also making those two models afraid to attack her.
Mm-hmm.
So this four threat character is, you know, tying up 5, 6, 7 threat maybe of threat.
Yeah.
And they're not attacking, which means what are they doing, right? The only thing, I mean, she is missing like a throw off the point, right, of course,
mm-hmm.
and like a way to displace on her turn.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she could be really cool there. And then the other thing is, small base, medium movers have trouble rotating,
mm-hmm.
but with the miss of Hogoth, she can actually rotate fairly easily.
Oh yeah.
So if it doesn't look like you're going to get one of the side points and they only have one person on the back, you can kind of sneakily
mm-hmm.
steal.
She's not a character that can do that turn one, but easily turn two onwards, you can always go for those back points.
Mm-hmm.
So, if we're starting out with Kingpin, who is your next Criminal Syndicate member? Because they have such a stacked roster.
Okay, so I guess we'll probably talk about, like, because, I mean, what Criminal Syndicate players are usually playing, like, Riots, Superpowered Scoundrel, and then one other secure, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to think about this in terms of like kind of 17 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm at 17, I already have Kingpin. I already have
Ancient One.
Ancient One. So I'm sitting at 8. So I'm looking for about 9 threat, right? Mm-hmm. Now, nothing that I have here quite helps with the extract game yet. Mm-hmm. So I think what I'm going to do, look for the next one, is probably Rhino with This Is a Robbery.
Yeah,
I Rhino, think that's another great shout.
Rhino is a great but kind of boring model, but he's so good.
Sometimes that's all you need.
Yeah, sometimes that is all you need. I want to quickly talk about a character that has had a bit of a glow up in Criminal Syndicate. Okay. And I think we want some middle affiliation 3 threats. And, like, they are the big splashy ones that everyone knows. But I think Taskmaster is silently very good in Kingpin nowadays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that.
Him getting power off of shield throw means he can affect the board so much more. He has the power to actually photographic reflexes, and mnemonic technique is still one of the best spenders in the game.
Yeah, and Taskmaster would be another one that you're kind of looking at. Now, granted, there's not too many threes that can throw like that or as reliably.
Yeah.
So him not bringing a throw is not like the end of the world, because
mm-hmm.
you know you might have it from some other sources. But Taskmaster is another one of those models that once he plants his feet on that point, unless you have a way to displace him, you're not gonna get him with just like one attack, right?
Oh yeah.
Even and then you're even scared to put your second attack in. Like Taskmaster is one of those models where you can actually take more damage trying to hit him than he actually takes himself.
Yes, and I think also a notable thing, while not expressly relevant in this meta, I think is always something to keep in mind. He is insane against rapid-fire characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, any rapid-fire character that walks up against him is just so sad. You get 1-3-4, or 4-3, and then you're 4-5, 4-5, 4-5 for the rest of the turn.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm super in on Taskmaster. I also think just for affiliation math, we want Bullseye.
Oh yeah, Bullseye, easy too. I don't mm-hmm. think there's probably a Criminal Syndicate list out there that doesn't bring him.
There are, and I've been playing really? One recently. I have been playing a claw build that's 2 threats of choice is Bob, because whenever Bob butt howls, you get a claw leadership trigger.
Okay. I mean, I can see how that works.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, do you want to spend actions to give claw an action and stuff, or have my last activation be the very mobile Bob who's just going to rotate using movements and Hydra tactics to whatever empty point there is.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good shout.
Mm-hmm.
I can see how that works. And I know Vodka Blitz has been messing with Claw quite a bit. So
Claw is about to get nutty.
Yeah.
There's
some interesting things you can do with him.
Yeah, I think, as much as I love her, I think Elektra needs to move out of Claw so Sandman can move in. Because dazing one model and giving Claw 3 triggers, because it's not a once per turn, and when Sandman dazes, you KO both of his grunts.
Mm. That is, okay. I didn't even know that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. That's going to be very dumb. and like, also Sandman's ability to sack a grunt and then with his teleport, and then that triggers a claw movement. Like, Sandman and Claw is going to be nutty, and I very much am afraid if he's Criminal Syndicate affiliated, that's just going to be terrifying. Like, at least if you're splashing him, you can price him out at some point values. But, like, if he's affiliated, ooh.
Yeah, that's a lot of value right there. I mean, he's four threat, right?
Yep.
And he can have two grunts, which
Yep.
can both attack. And from what I've seen of the card, like the grunt card, they can both make two actions, which is
As far as
it's
we are aware,
lot of
yes.
value. A lot of value in one activation.
So the only thing you have to be mindful of is they are both small base, small movers with no movement efficiency. So, like, the magical turns where you're getting six attacks is going to be very rare.
And I imagine Sandman's going to want to teleport to them quite often, which then takes them off the board. So,
But that triggers Claw, and like,
yeah.
there's a give and pull in there that's going to be really interesting with him.
Yeah.
I'm super excited about that. Anyways.
All right, back to our little Ancient One criminal syndicate.
Yes. What other criminal syndicate members jump out to you?
Speaking of, I don't. Originally, I was going to say Electra, just because there's researchers always around these days, even if you're not bringing it. And this, like, her grunts count for the for
Researcher.
researcher, and now they would count twice with the leadership. But one thing that this saves you if you don't like Electra is now you have a mystic attacker, so you might not need one, which is always nice. So that also eliminates, not eliminates, but means you don't really need to worry about Hood as much. I know a lot of people bring Hood, but he doesn't quite fit into Kingpin's plan, but people bring him because, like, what if I need a mystic attack? So now we've been talking about criminals only, right? Did you want to talk about splashes or just criminals right
I
now?
think we need at least one more criminal, and then we can start looking at splashes, just
Okay. Yep.
math-wise.
Yeah, we I mean we just grabbed Black Cat, right? She's just too good,
Black
especially
Cat.
these days.
Yes and no. I definitely think she is markedly worse than she used to be. She is still very dumb.
So while I do believe and I do agree that she was worse in term from like a Web Warrior standpoint, but her being more tanky is a little bit more of a net on Criminal Syndicate. Like Kingpin feels her buff or her change in the not being able to explode crits against her. Like he kind of likes that from her. So, you know, it's not as bad as much as you feel in Web Warriors.
I think she is. I think Criminal Syndicate is the only affiliation where it doesn't feel like a steep downgrade. But I think everywhere else she feels like a very steep downgrade. But yeah, I'm okay with bringing in Black Cat. I think there are some interest. There is one interesting choice I want to bring up. I've been playing some Crossbones Merciless Mark, and he is very good.
Yeah, I like Crossbones under Kingpin.
Yeah, and I think
Especially with
he.
the dig-in card, right? That's what it's called.
Unfortunately, we can't do dig in because dig in is Cabal only.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. I'm very glad it's Cabal only because I would be very scared to play against the Crossbones with dig in and Kingpin Criminal Syndicate. But I think most of what we're doing is Web Warrior gameplay. Is the spread out Crisis gameplay. I think Crossbones is kind of an E specialist that also kind of fits the theme of our affiliation.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you gotta be prepared for those emaps for when you either lose priority or researcher pops.
Yep, exactly. And I think he does very well on both of those scenarios because the combination of a beam and hit and run is very good. And naturally tanky. Now, out of affiliation stuff, what were you thinking?
A lizard. is probably a big shout for me. He can move between points on a D map pretty easily to steal. And if he has that three power, it's a move, throw. And then it's not even just tying. If they have like two people on that point, you're now stealing it. So he's pretty good. He's only three threat. He's nice and tanky. He's got a terrain throw, which helps them too. Yeah, I think Lizard's pretty solid low threat option for Kingpin.
Yeah, Lizard is always a good shout. I don't think there are many teams that don't like Lizard.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, he was literally the, you know, the S-class of three threats, right? So, like, he's kind of the first model I look at when I try to explain some to somebody about the balance of the game between three and four threats is you're going to have some three threats that feel like three and a halves, which is really good for them, and some four threats that feel like three and a halves, which in turn makes them feel pretty bad to take. And he is, like, a prime example of a three threat that feels like a three and a half. Now, as the game has gone on, I think it's aged a little bit, and maybe he's not the go-to splashable three anymore. But that doesn't mean he's not good.
Now, we're talking about midline grab. We're talking about extract help, midline grab. I think I kind of like Hela in Kingpin lists. Just her ability to heal at this point, making her extra tanky. She is a safe midline grab that can still do effective stuff turn two, unlike Beta Ray Bill. Still influence the game there. And she just... Sometimes she just doesn't die. Which is very annoying for... when you're trying to use her to eke out points in the endgame.
That's true. I mean, I would argue Bill is probably a little bit more reliable in the not dying. And he brings the throw, which is good for Criminal Syndicate. But I can be convinced to bring Hela.
So my thing with Bill, and this is very much a Criminal Syndicate thing. Criminal Syndicate is a blitz team. They want to end the game at turn three. And Bill doesn't do anything turn two, really, if he's eyes on the prizing. Just the way his power math works out and stuff like that. And having a character that doesn't do anything a third of the game, I don't love as much. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But the way I see it is, if Bill's grabbing something off the center, and sometimes you don't need to eyes with him because the point that you're standing on is going to be on the center, and you just kind of put him there because he's one of your tankiest models, and you just tell the team, like, hey, you know, come get me, and then if they try and push him off, he has honor bound, or throw them off with an attack, he has honor bound. So, like, that's kind of where I'm coming at with Bill is that regard. But yeah, if the opponent doesn't attack him, then he's kind of waiting to turn three. But sometimes on turn three, he can surprise you just by rotating to a point and throwing somebody off and get you that last victory point you kind of need.
Yeah. I am also, as a jank miser, somewhat resistant to playing the model everyone plays. And that's a personal thing. It's me.
I can respect it. I can respect it. As much as I talk about throwing Bill in this list, I've never fielded a Bill in any of my lists that I've ever played.
Really?
Yeah, and not to like be a, you know, kind of a special snowflake about it or anything like that. It's just like he's made a couple of my lists, but then in theory crafting just gets cut. And I always tell myself, like, oh, I'm going to cut him because I know he's good and I want to test, you know, three models at once. And then he just never makes it back into my list. So, yeah, I've just been,
do you not
I've just
know?
Been kind of playing with my hand behind my back, I guess.
Do you not know the concept of a control group? Like, I will not discount Bill's power. Bill is a very effective model, and I absolutely think he could fit into this list. I think more people need to be looking at Hela in more situations because she does very similar things in different ways and has a more active turn two.
Yeah, that I agree with. In my tournament defenders list, the reason why I don't have Bill in there is I actually run Hela.
Yeah.
I think she, with Death's Advance, she can get better access to more rerolls that Bill can't do for me. And she just brings like a mystic attack, which I tend to bring a lot of physical attacks.
Yeah.
With just the nature of the characters I'm bringing. So Hela's been my go-to eyes on the prize in defenders for quite some time. And I think more people should do it.
Yes. Well, then, I think against my better judgment, and against what I was just saying, I think we put Bill in just so you can play Bill, finally.
Sounds good.
Because, like, as much as I like to be a jank master and a meme lord, you still need to play the good thing to understand why it's good and understand what you are losing and if you are willing to lose those things when you are going to something else.
Agreed.
And so having experience on a model is still important, even if it is the best model and one of the better models in the game right now. Now we have one spot left. We can move and drop some characters if we need to, but there is an entire situation that we have not talked about that I think we need to talk about.
Okay.
Which is Peta flips.
Yeah. Kind of Kingpin's mortal enemy at this point.
Yeah. And Ancient One is not a character that helps Kingpin with Peta flips.
Yes and no. On like a Hammer's Spider Portals type setup, she does have the power to walk up and pick an extract as well as flip at the same time.
Yeah.
So at least that helps a little bit in that regard. But she's not really the first model I'm grabbing on Peta flips.
Yeah.
Especially if it's Mutant Madman.
Mm-hmm. Which I have, my gut feeling tells me is the most popular Peta flip.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, I do think she is a fairly solid sword-based pick. She has a lot of ability to rotate, and she has the power. But on the ones that actually care about defensive stats, she is not the best.
Yeah. Deadly Meteors, I don't hate her on.
Yeah.
But Mutant Madman's a problem, and Spider Portals is not the most fun in the game.
So I want to bring up a character that isn't even out yet, but we've seen their card, and I think it's very interesting on Peta flips. And that is,
I think I know where you're going.
Black Panther, Chosen of Bast.
Yeah. Okay.
They are he is a character that has the the Medusa tankiness rule, which is an actually really solid rule. So he can be a little bit tanky for our Kingpin teams. But then he has that Insight of the Ancients where he gets to reroll while interacting with objective tokens.
I think that's a good shout. And he's kind of like who I would bring in so you can maintain a Mystic Attacker.
Mm-hmm.
Because on these scenarios, you probably wouldn't bring Ancient One.
Yeah.
And so you maintain your Mystic Attack and you give yourself a little extra on Peta flips.
And also, I think this guy can just pop off.
Yeah, I mean, anyone with a pounce, throws are some of the best damage in the game, right? So if he can just throw himself into somebody and then, you know, double attack even, like, I'm okay with that from a three threat.
And if you ever line up, get the finisher trigger. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's deadly. I played quite a bit of the Black Widow in Defenders, and she has the same style spender, and when it goes off, it goes off.
Really? I would have chosen OG Sabretooth, because he has that type of finisher, but he also has a counterattack that you can use the rerolls on your opponent's turn.
So the thing that I like with the Black Widow, on top of giving me energy attacks, which I struggle to get things other than mystic physical in defenders,
fair.
Is the extract play where she gets to drop it.
Very fair.
And then the her finisher, and of course this is a 3-threat versus a 4-threat, so it's going to be a little bit better. But her finisher, she gets to move, and you can choose which order you want to do that in. And mm-hmm. that attack, that Panther Strike attack, can be against any...
Oh, yeah, any model.
Any character. Mm-hmm. So she can actually finish somebody off, move medium to somebody else, and then hit with her builder attack, which she gets full rerolls on.
Mm-hmm.
And like that's just one action from her, and like so she can really really pop off. Yeah. And if I didn't need to use the defender trigger on the finisher to get the trigger, then I can use that medium move to set up for her second action to get mm-hmm. a ton of rerolls. So she was actually super integral in my lead up to LVO on defenders. I love that model.
That is entirely fair. I've only played a little bit of defenders, but. I've always found the, like, once per turn abilities with characters that can break, that can do those actions on the opponent's turn exceptionally powerful.
Yep. Yeah. There's a couple of people in that school of thought for defenders. They like to stack that. They like Daredevils. They like OG Sabretooths. Mm-hmm. You know, any one of those cries. Some people bring Venom. I don't think too many people bring him anymore, but OG Sabretooth is still sticking around.
Yeah. And I still contend OG Sabretooth is one of the better, if not the best, cube carriers in the game as the only long-moving healing factor character.
I would put him up there. Long move, small base is a little bit longer than a medium move, medium base.
Mm-hmm.
So he is longer. He's a little bit faster than Lizard would be, which would be my other cube carrier. That's who I use in Convocation when I play cubes.
And also he is much scarier to attack when he has a cube.
That's true. That is definitely true.
I have definitely gone popped off on by Red Skull 3 Sabretooth, where he attacks on the opponent's turn and then gets the fail into a crit, turned into a crit, and just pops off on someone.
Yeah, for sure.
Currently we have 10 characters. Is there anyone else you were looking at?
I mean, the only one I was looking at, and just because I know that there's a guy in Jersey who's like, I'm not sure if he is anymore, but he was at least the number one Criminal Syndicate player, and that man kicks my ass with Juggernaut constantly.
We do not have a large threat, so that is a good shout.
Yeah, so shout out to Joe Pape out of Jersey, another mm-hmm. Pork Girl Protocol guy.
Do we want to take someone out to fit Juggernaut in?
Maybe. Let me see. The thing is, like, I don't want to go too heavy because, like, we're trying to play Ancient One.
Yeah.
As much as possible. And so I'm not sure, like, it makes the 5-threat a little bit harder to fit.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think we might just leave it as it is. And, you know, hopefully Ancient One can live up to Juggernaut's name. A threat down, which gives us another threat to play on another character, at least.
Yeah.
So hopefully she can kind of lift those same weights that he's been lifting.
Oh, yeah. So, we talked about our secures already. We're definitely doing Scoundrels. We're definitely doing Extremis.
Yes.
What is our third crisis?
For secure?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is where I feel like almost every list you try and make, you have like two really good secures and one where you're just like, meh, it kind of works for me.
Which I don't mind as a, like, product of the game design.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the days of the old where you only really needed two crises that you were really good at because you only ever played those two crises effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that the one I would go with might be, and this is a little bit of flavor wise too, but we can go with Mayor Fisk. I think that the stun doesn't always hurt you. Sometimes you do need to get a little bit more power for your throws, but if you're taking a little bit of damage because it's so uptight, you got some tanky characters there. I think you can really run away with this scenario. At Adepticon, I played a guy, and we ended up on Researcher Fisk, and as soon as I stacked that Researcher on top of the Fisk, I mean you can easily score 6 points a turn to none. And so not only does it allow these swingy comebacks, but it allows you to just completely just shut someone out and run away with the game to the point where they just can't keep up. And that matched with Kingpin's leadership, I think, could be pretty interesting.
I can definitely see it. My only worry is we are focused around a character that innately generates 2 power a turn and is designed around that 2 power a turn.
That's true, but I think once she gets in there, she'll be, she can kind of hold her own. So I think what really she just needs that 2 power to start, and because these are right on the center line, I mean she can teleport up, walk, and then get an attack in turn one, which and be on the point, which most people can't do. So I think you're going to be up on a little bit up on attrition too, which could scare some people. And a 5 dice mystic with Pierce is kind of nice to have.
So we have an eyes on the prize play, so we're willing to play midline extracts.
Yes.
Do you have any extract preferences here?
Let's see. Kingpin. His leadership still works on Researcher, right? So Researcher might not be terrible. Just because it works like a secure, so that kind of helps his leadership. And then the other half of his leadership is basically a mission objective, right? I think it's 2 power.
So I
But
think
it's
we
only assets and civilians, so we should try and make sure we're focusing on assets and civilians.
that is everyone in the get that those are the two types of extract
Oh,
tokens.
that's right. They changed it. There was a different one, I thought, but maybe not. Maybe.
Alien ship before it flipped was a point of interest, which is one of
That's
the
what it was.
secure
Yeah.
tags.
Okay. That's what it is. So now it's all civilians and assets. Okay. So we don't have to worry about it too much.
But I do think that points us to Legacy Virus. I think we are one of the better Legacy Virus teams.
I can agree with that. Yeah, that it could help you secure a Legacy Virus. If you end up with someone on two, then all you need to do with is if you get so like a third one, just walk over to him and spend 2 power, and at that point probably just win the game. You do have to wait till the end of the turn, but or end of the round, but yeah.
And also, it's that is a once per turn. So if you have all three Sputterbound three characters, you can just play converge defensive, pass off, pass off.
Yeah, and you get around that nasty having to spend an extra power to pick up because you're just throwing them on top. So yeah, I think Deadly Legacy Virus is a good shout.
And Deadly Legacy Virus is also notable for the characters that have. There aren't many people who are playing Angela nowadays, but if people are playing Angela or doing something like Inhumans with Amazing Peter, where they have a long move, medium base character that has 2 power, or to a lesser extent, Eyes Ronin, but in Inhumans he can get that 4th power to still do it. You can get to you can this is one of the few crises where they don't get two free extracts. They only get one. Did that make
Yeah,
sense?
yeah. No, that makes sense. I think that's good. I was just sorry, I was doing a little mental math on threat levels, but yeah, I think 19 is not that bad for us either. So that's good.
It is also, interestingly, one of the ones where you can hold multiple, but I don't think grunts can hold multiple. because of that interact tax, or do grunts negate it all?
So the interact tax, let me just read it real quick. You must spend one per legacy cure
before using this interact.
So they interact for free no matter what. So that's interesting to note. I'm not sure, quite sure, but they can definitely at least hold more than one if you are passing them with the leadership.
Yeah.
Onto a grunt. So they could definitely hold it. It's just whether they would get around that tax. That could be a good one for the rules for them.
I don't think they get around the tax because it says you do not pay power when interacting. So you don't pay the interact power, but that is a separate power tax.
Oh yeah, it is. It is before using this interact. So it would be kind of like rooting, which grunts don't get around. So yeah, it's kind of like a root.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh god, rooting grunt sounds despicable.
Shout out. I feel like I'm just shouting out everybody. But Nick Menard was actually asking about that around LVO, because I don't know where he was getting roots off the top of my head in Defenders, but in Convocation, you can play Bane of Damballa and root, and this is into Ultron. You are most likely also going to root the Ultron drones, and that means they can't blow up. And deal damage to everyone, because that's a zero cost superpower. It's not something that just happens when they KO.
Interesting.
Yes. So if you root the Ultron drones, they cannot deal damage when they die.
Interesting. That also means it's an optional effect.
Yes, it is optional. Yeah, there are times where maybe you don't want to injure.
Explode.
You don't want to explode because someone's at one, and if they KO, you're not going to be there to pick up their extract, so you don't want to give your opponent another chance to pick it up, or you don't want to give them that one power they might need. You're going to daze them later in the turn, or you just might not want to daze them so that you keep prio. So they made it an optional effect, which is good.
What is our third crisis?
I'm thinking, because we're already prepped and looking for that C extract type, and we have a character that we're building around that can punish the midline as well as be a second safe grab if we already have another safe grab, I'm looking at Alien Ship.
Yeah. We would have to find a way to get them a power in this affiliation to be a safe grab. But I still think Alien Ship is a good call, and are ways of controlling people into their own guise for potential explosions is we have a chunk.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she has a good way of dumping power as well. She can just dump power by moving on her turn, or if someone attacks her, which they are likely to do if she's holding this. Spending three every time they attack to push them is going to drain her pretty quickly underneath that three threshold. Mm-hmm. So it gives you a little bit of leeway there. And then because she's so much of a tank, she's not likely to get a bunch put back on her at once.
And that spender, you can always do that spender to do dumb stuff.
Oh, that is a delete button. Oh, yeah. This is Convocation, but I used to use her as kind of a deterrent to Malkith back when he was having his summer of fun.
Yep.
And she would just live constant after constant attack from him. Didn't care about his pierces because they were, it was blanks anyway because of martial artist. Mm-hmm. And that spender is just like, oh, you can pay for your crits, but they're actually just not going to count for you anyway. So it was great. And just to shut down whatever defensive tech he did have, and get a stagger on him. She was so good into Malkith.
Yeah.
And she'll be good into any kind of kaiju that's running around, whether it be, still CGR or any of the Hulks. It's always good to get a stagger on them if they're not near the Black Cat that you're using. Mm-hmm. So she's just great for that. The spender's amazing.
And that line of text is amazing. Basically, no matter what character it's on, in specifically gymnastics, because everyone wants to bring a reality gym.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a good shutdown.
So now, finally, tactic cards. I think Ancient One doesn't have any crisis tactic cards of her own.
No, nothing she can bring.
I definitely think we take all according to plan. Such a good card.
Even though she doesn't help with that, she can't pay for it, still so good. Gotta bring it.
Then, Eyes for sure. And This Is a Robbery for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, we've already talked about those.
Are there any of the other Criminal Syndicate cards that just jump out to you?
I've kind of been a fan of Cruelty, especially with Bullseye. But the interesting thing about Cruelty is while it is Criminal Syndicate, you don't have to be a Criminal Syndicate character to play it.
Nope.
So giving her another Mystic Attack or one that's like, you know, range 5 so she can hit somebody else that she wasn't even hitting before can just be, it can make her turn pretty deadly. So I think we bring that. And sometimes you don't always have the 2 power to play, especially if your criminals are spending for all according to plan. So maybe the play here is to all according to plan with your criminals, dump their power. And Ancient One's going to have hers, and then she can be your first activation when you steal Pryo. And now you get the 3 attacks, and she'll always have that 2 power to play this card. So I like that.
So I want to talk about a card. It's a weird one.
Okay.
Have you read Bast's Blessing?
That's in the Rivals Planet panel, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so I'm guessing because we have the other one that it's just a T'Challa card.
It is just a T'Challa card.
Okay, yeah, I don't hate that. That's it's one of those attack cards, right?
Yep. So it's a 6 dice range 3 Mystic Attack that costs 3 power. You get to place within 1, and then on Wild, choose an enemy character within 2, and you get to make the attack again, targeting that character.
Choose an enemy character within 2. Okay, so it would be on another target, and then, but they're within 2. Kind of like Spider ASM's trigger, where you choose someone within 2, and they take a collision, but they would take an attack instead. Okay, and then I kind of like this because you can move with him and then hopefully be within range 3 to then get an attack and teleport to them, which could be stealing the point if you're under Kingpin's leadership, or just get you onto that point to try and flip it.
Yep.
I think that helps him rotate quite a bit.
And it also sets up placing for Pounce super interestingly. Because, like, you do this, and, like, because there's, like, terrain in the way, you land right next to them, then you can directly pounce into them.
Yeah, this will be good if someone's hiding on top of a building.
Yeah.
You can pounce, use this place within 1 and then be able to pounce into them, because now you're on top of the building with them. Yeah, I like that.
And we don't have a lot of tax on our character-specific cards, so I think we can fit it in.
Yeah. What did we say? We said Eyes on the Prize. We said Robbery or no?
Yep. So I currently have All According to Plan, Cruelty, Eyes on the Prize, Robbery, Bath's Blessing.
Okay. So since we have some space and we have Lizard, might as well grab Exceptional Healing.
Yeah.
Just in case you're playing him, he needs to protect against a spike. That's about as good as it gets. Speaking about protecting against spikes, Recal Matrix could be pretty good.
Yep.
Since sometimes you just need to live on 1 and it keeps your characters healthy.
Yep.
Which, as soon as you flip, you kind of lose that part of the leadership, so I think that's good.
I also think we are a brace patch-up team, because staying healthy is so important.
Yeah, patch-up for sure. We do have quite a bit of health pools, and we have characters that have increased effective health, where, you know, they have DR1s or, extra rerolls and
all of that stuff.
Stuff like that. So the patch up definitely goes a long way. And Brace will definitely help. And that'll be good for Ancient One. while she does get to reroll two on her dodge, you know, sometimes you want to block that big one.
Mm-hmm. Are we on Brace or not?
I'm sorry?
Are we on Brace or are we not on Brace?
So I was thinking Brace, but now that I'm re-looking over the restricted cards, I think we want Indom.
Indom is a fair shout, actually.
Yeah, I'm thinking Indom Pash Up.
Okay, yeah.
Is our play here, yeah.
And that is not a standard restricted loadout, so people are going to be surprised by it.
Yeah, Indom is really good for Kingpin. Mm-hmm. I would say a lot of Kingpin lists run Indom.
And then I think in a similar vein to Indom, I also think we might be a Warpath team.
Yeah, I don't hate Warpath. It's a mini Indom. I don't hate it.
And it can be used in aggressive situations where, like, we're on a B and they attack us from their B. We can aggressive towards them to be in range of a good activation on their B.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And she can, especially if you're using it with Ancient One, she's got the power to use it. Mm-hmm. She can pull them off and then get back on the point herself after getting pushed, which is really great. So that's good. And it kind of gives her a pseudo shout to when I use her in Convocation and I bump back on the point.
Yep.
So this just lets her get even farther than a bump.
Mm-hmm. And that is a full crew. That's a full list. Any other, like, micro adjustments you want to make right here at the end?
No, I'm pretty proud of what we came up with here.
Cool.
I like it.
For everyone at home, for everyone at home, the final list is Ancient One, Kingpin, Rhino, Taskmaster, Bullseye, Black Cat, Crossbones, Merciless Merc, Beta Ray Bill, Black Panther, Chosen of Bast, and Lizard. For tactic cards, we have All According to Plan, Eyes on the Prize, This is a Rivalry, Cruelty, Bast Blessing, Exceptional Healing, Patch Up, Recalibration Matrix, Indomitable, and Warpath. For secures, we have Superpower Scoundrels form Sinister Syndicate, Riot Spark over Extremist 3.0, and Mayor Fisk vows to find missing witnesses. And for extracts, we have Research Station attacked, Deadly Legacy Virus cured, and Alien Ship crashes in downtown. This seems like a fun list.
I would play it.
Yeah. If people wanted to reach out to you, where could they find you?
Discord is probably the best way. I'm in the fan server, mainly in the Convocation and Defender sections, sometimes in the Brotherhood, mostly to troll one of my protocol guys, but I have been looking at them. Just as like a fun affiliation battle thing. Always hanging out in the GameStar Guardians Discord, which is cool. I think you're in that one as well. So
I'm in so many Discords.
Yeah, it's so hard to keep track, right? So, those would probably be my two main ones, is the GameStar Guardian ones and the fan server. Eventually, I keep telling myself I will make my way to the official AMG one, but for some reason, I just haven't yet.
Yes. I am very much on the official AMG one, as I am one of the moderators.
Oh, well, there you go.
But yeah. And if you want to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/LexaWhite, where you do get access to the Morlocks Discord server, which you are now in. And
this is true.
As well as many other perks, I am going to be sitting down and doing an episode talking about my local store has been doing a league. We are 2 weeks in, and I'm currently 2-0, so I will be sitting down and talking about my league list, which is Cyclops X-Men, and the fun stuff I have been putting in that.
Nice.
So, expect that bonus episode to come out within the next couple of days. There's also a quarterly, playlist that should be coming out in the next couple of days. I struggled mightily choosing my 19th and 20th song. And I finally came down on these are the ones I really want to showcase. So now I need to go sit down and talk about them. And then just other bonus episodes we've had recently. I had I finally got my bonus episode for Godzilla Minus One out there. I had a great hangout with perennial supporter Ed. You can also see here my Adepticon hot takes with Brad A on there. Like, all a lot of fun stuff that you can get on there. And access to the Discord also means you get access to my custom characters, as I'm working on a Versus Capcom expansion and a League of Legends expansion. So if any of that stuff sounds interesting, patreon.com/AlexaWhite is the place to go. And then just in news, Mox Boarding House in Bellevue, where I go, has finally gotten our date down on the calendar, and Saturday, August 24th will be our LVO qualifier. So come out to Mox Boarding House there. I will be running the tournament all day. And there is a lot of store credit on the line if there are some things that you are looking to buy. So even if you don't get those points, there is still a lot of store credit on the line if you get into that top eight. So yeah. Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And just to piggyback off your latest announcement, I highly encourage anyone who can to show out for an LVO qualifier, even if it might even be your first tournament. You don't feel the confidence to you know, get one down. Those mm-hmm. typically have more entrants.
Yep.
And just the way tournaments work, if you haven't been to one, you're always going to be playing someone, or almost always. There are pair downs and pair ups, but you're almost always going to be playing someone with the same record as you. So as the rounds go on, and there tend to be more rounds at these events because there's more players, mm-hmm. as the rounds go on, you're going to be playing with someone that's got the same record as you. And you'll learn a lot. You'll have a lot of fun. You'll meet more people. So I highly recommend that these LVO qualifiers are not just for the super, super competitive people. Mm-hmm. They're also the best way locally to meet everyone in the scene all at once.
Yep, absolutely. So yeah, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you.
And keep experimenting, people. Yeah, that was the episode.